when Dad died, it was obviously a great shock to us, and we were obviously grieving as a family. And then as we started to put the arrangements together for the funeral, and all of a sudden we were aware, this great outpouring from not only, you know, some of the great figures in football and the community, but also just your ordinary fan. And when the statue got covered in scarves and memorabilia, it was just incredible. And it helps, it really helps. It made you realise how great Dad was in terms of being a man of the people, but also how proud we were as a family that what Dad had achieved. And, you know, he was always very humble and very quiet about his achievements, but to know that people felt so deeply about him really helped us get over that initial grieving period.
Is there one thing in particular that you think back, wow, that tribute was particularly poignant?
I don't think there's one thing in particular. I think it was the general feeling from the people within Blackpool and the football community, but also the PFA, all these charities, all the public figures. It was deeply touching, and everyone triggered an emotion in a very positive way.
I was amazed. I couldn't believe how many people were actually thinking of us, thinking about my dad, thinking about the contributions that he'd made to their lives in small ways that I just didn't understand. My brother was much more fully aware of the contribution he'd had to a lot of people's lives than I had had.
So the thing is, to you, he is Dad.
Yeah.
To your children, he's Grandpa. And yet, to the likes of me, he's got legendary status, hero status. And the two things are very different, aren't they?
Yeah. Every role he was ever faced in his life, he played really well. Mm. And I don't think anybody who came across him, whatever sphere it was, weren't satisfied almost by how he played the role to them. Whether it was as a public speaker, as a broadcaster, whether it was a footballer, a journalist, a manager, as a friend, and to us as a father and a grandfather to the children. He was a very capable man in many, many spheres, very hard to follow, I must admit.
Duncan, I've got to ask, what would your dad make of it all? There was an interesting comment in the BBC Mark Pugach interview that he did latterly with your dad, and he finished the interview by saying, how would you like to be remembered? And your dad typically, modestly said, well, does it really matter?
Yeah, I think Dad never really saw himself as anything but a representative of his community, a representative of his family first and foremost. And that would have been Dad. And I think in that interview he also said is that Mark asked him, you know, would you like to have had all the fame and fortune that the footballers have now? And he thought about it for a moment and then he said, do you know what? He said, I'm not so sure. He said, I think I prefer to be remembered as a half-decent player. So I think what he'd make of it all is he'd just be very touched. He'd be very surprised, as John so eloquently put, that he played this role for everybody and played it for... And he had great empathy with people.
Yeah, the thing that surprised me the most, and I've got to be honest, was the day of the funeral. And it was a really sort of dank, horrible day. It was a poor day for us. The weather was bad. But how many people from Blackpool turned out, and I mean people who probably didn't even know him as an individual, just knew who he was. Mm. And they looked at the route the cortege was going to take, and they stood in the rain for, some of them, I would have say, up to 2 hours to pay their respects. I mean, we drove down St Anne's Road and the fire service lined up all in uniform. We drove around Bloomfield Road. People were there. I was amazed how many were actually stood in the stadium. We drove down Lytham Road. How many people were outside? We drove right down Lytham Road. People were just stopped in the streets to pay their respect. That was the thing that struck me the most.
He was involved in so many great causes. He was such a leader and mentor, and he had all the work with the charities. Do you feel a bit of an obligation to try and carry on some of those good works? And how possible is that going to be for you when you're busy, you've got jobs, you've got families?
Well, we could only do our best. And Dad set a great example that in terms of raising money for charities. Many, you know, probably we end up with millions of pounds in total when we total it all together, which we haven't done. I don't feel an obligation. I feel a need. I feel a need to carry on Dad's name. And wherever it can be used in a positive way to raise money for charities, such for Trinity or Age Concern or Help the Aged, any great concern, we are there to fully support it, as we did with Active Lancashire and recently and other parts. I don't feel an obligation. I just feel a need to carry on as much as we can and use Dad's name to help to raise money. And I think he would be pleased that we are, because he was very aware that people need opportunities in life. And any opportunity that can be given, whether it's at the start of their life or during their life with mental health issues or age, or even at the end of their life, to have a degree of dignity that a small amount of cash could probably give them.
You've had the unenviable task of sorting through his personal belongings, and I understand that you've discovered a lot of interesting items, memorabilia from his time in football. Yeah. John, just explain some of the amazing things that you've uncovered.
Yeah. Well, obviously, if anybody who visited Dad's house could see, there was quite a number of bits of memorabilia around the house. But most of it was fairly modern, or fairly modern items, things he'd been awarded recently that he was very, very proud of. We didn't realise, but when we actually went through everything, he'd kept things from the start of his footballing career all the way through to 2016. He was still collecting things, he'd written, speeches he'd made, comments he'd made. But we found all sorts of memorabilia from 66, 62, 58. I mean, he has every medal he's ever won, although he didn't win. That was one of the big things. He never won anything regarding a team medal. Obviously, he won the 66 medal, but in terms of winning an FA Cup or a football championship, he never won anything like that. Yeah, we were just amazed. I mean, 66, crikey. Only thing I think he was given regarding 66, he's kept. We were amazed, you know, who else has got 11 at 1966 programmes, match day programmes. He had every ticket for every game that England played. He's still got them all. Well, we've got them now in safekeeping. He had his tracksuit, his white shirt, England shirt, number 14, his red England shirt, number 14. He's still got his kit bag with his number 14 on it. And the thing is, they look like brand new, because I'm not sure he ever used them. I think he might have taken some old kit bags and equipment he used. But that's how he was. And that was his way of showing pride. I think there was a way of not being ostentatious about anything, but keeping it in, it was the way it was kept. They weren't on show for anybody. He didn't tell anybody he had them. They were kept in plastic bags, in cardboard boxes, black bin liners. You know, where a lot of people would have they'd have a room decorating them so they could, it was almost like a shrine. But Dad wasn't like that. He had them and it was in his head. He knew he had them and that's all that mattered. He didn't need to show them anybody.
I understand you've discovered some of his old writings from when he was a journalist working for the Daily Express, for example.
We were amazed, but he's cut out everything that was ever published by the Daily Express. He's cut out. You know, who else does that? I mean, obviously, some journalists must do. I mean, journalism was something he loved to do, but... And again, he never told anybody in the family. I've asked my mother about it. She's not sure, but he has everything. Only Dad would have done that. And again, not showing anybody, that's the thing.
Duncan, what have you uncovered that you've been, had a wry smile about, or maybe shed a tear because it's brought back memories?
I think most of all is as John says, is discovering things that we never knew existed. And everybody saw the medals and everything, so we knew though they were always there. But I think personal effects, and I think the personal reflections on games he's been to. And the notes written down on programmes. There's one in particular that was from the World Cup final in America. And there was clearly notes on the programme that him, and he was obviously passing them to Alan Green at the time, and they were passing them backwards and forwards. And I think it's the personal touches that mean the most. We've also discovered even an FA Cup winner's medal from 1890 something. I can't even remember what it is. Mm. But where in the earth?
Blackburn Rovers, isn't it? This is not Blackpool, it's Blackburn Rovers.
Blackburn Rovers.
The first working class team to win the FA Cup.
Exactly. So where's that come from? We have no idea. And those are pleasant surprises, and just nice to look at and to reflect on where on earth has he got. I think that might have been a gift from somebody who he's done something for, and he would not take a financial reward for it. Mm. He just thought it was part of that, and it would have been a gift.
And some of those personal reflections that you talk about, I mean, who were they intended for? Was that just for his own pleasure to read his thoughts on that game and that player or whatever?
Yeah. I think one of the reasons he might have kept a lot of the express cuttings and cuttings of his work, I think he always wanted to be better. So he would look back and reflect on how he saw that game and could he have made that better. Mm. It's something he taught me when I first got into management, was about leadership and how you could always be better. And the first person to look at is yourself when anything goes wrong, because it's actually all about people. And when I look at them, they're just... The note's not even about players, they're about formations, about structures, about how the play's going. And he had all this uncanny ability to almost predict what was going to happen as soon as the players came out on the pitch. So lots of nice things there.
He was involved in so many different things. That's the amazing part of this. His church life, charity work.
There's lots of documents that go back years and years, church-based, charity-based. Speeches he's made for charity, and like Duncan said, one of the interesting things with Dad is, why do you keep an old speech? Why do you keep a speech that you made 17, 18, 20 years ago? And it is because each time he delivers, you can only tell people about your life. You can only tell it in so many different ways, but each time he did it, he tried to make it different in case people had heard it before. I've got boxes and boxes of paperwork that we've sifted through. We've had to get rid of a lot of stuff because we don't want it to get into the wrong hands, really. But
and all this is quite difficult, isn't it? You know, when you're still feeling very raw and emotional about something that's fairly recent, still a year's not a long time. So has that been difficult trying to cope with all of that?
Yeah, because of course I always feel like I'm sifting through something that's not really mine to sift through. Because it's mum and dad primarily. Yeah. I would imagine that both mum and dad, the items they collected, they discussed because they were that close. And I think why he kept a lot of things he has done was because he wanted it to pass through the generations of the family so that people did remember him.
I was going to end there, actually, with remembering your dad, because in the past 12 months, Duncan, there has been a plaque unveiled at Revo School.
That's right, yes.
There has been, you mentioned earlier, Active Lancashire, which is a charity that your dad was a patron at. They've renamed one of their trophies, their award, after your father.
The Lifetime Achievement.
Yeah. Award. We know already he had a statue outside Curzon Ashton in Trafford, where he was born. There is the Armfield Academy in Blackpool, his former school. There is a statue, a stand named after him at Bloomfield Road. So, I mean, there's no danger that we're ever going to forget your dad.
That means a lot. That means a heck of a lot. All have a different story behind each one of those. His school, for example, Arnold School, he's very dear to that. And he always said that was one of the great opportunities he had in life. And so when it was suggested that they call the school being built there, Armfield Academy, he was very touched and, you know, it meant a lot to him. And the statue outside Bloomfield Road raised money raised
big
by
gym.
The father. Yeah, big gym. Well, every time I go past, I still say, "You're right, Dad." You know, it's nice. It's just a nice moment. But it meant a lot to him because the fans raised the money. The one at Curzon Ashton is where he was born, and actually, a lot of his family are buried around there, and a lot of his history. And Revo School—that's where he first went to primary school when he came to Blackpool after living in Denton, you know, during the war, and then they got evacuated really with his mother when the bombs started to drop in 1940. So all I would say to most people is just keep him in your heart as much as we can. He's left a great big hole in our lives and hopefully meant enough to many, many people. And all the messages we've had are very touching, and they've absolutely come from the heart. And John's received them, but I'm on Twitter, and, you know, not only from Blackpool, but all his friends, colleagues, the, you know, famous but not so famous people, but Bolton Wanderers, Leeds United fans, every, you know, it's just been overwhelming and very supportive to the family. We've never heard a bad word said about him.
And just to echo your brother's thoughts, just how comforting, John, has all that been?
It's made what was very difficult slightly easier. Not easy. It's been a massive void in our lives. You know, I watch a football match now and there's nobody to ring up. There's nobody ringing me. Those are the things I really miss. I couldn't watch football. I haven't watched football until the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks. I couldn't watch football on the telly because there was nobody to discuss these things with. And we'd come and have a full half-hour discussion after a game. And no doubt he'd go to the PFA tomorrow and he'd be discussing it tomorrow. He'd go down to Blackpool Football Club, he'd discuss it there. He went to church, he'd discuss it there. He'd go to Lampac, he'd discuss it there. He would never have a harsh word to say about anybody who'd played because he knew that as a footballer or in football, you're there to be shot down. He knew how difficult a profession it actually is. Yeah, it's a massive void. The grandchildren, I've spoke to all four of them, they've struggled because he was a guiding light to all four of those, to his two daughters-in-law. He was a guiding light to them. I know people have come up to me who I don't even know who they are and stopped me in the street in Blackpool and said, we really miss even, you know, listening to him on the radio. So, yeah, it's been a really difficult year. We're just starting to get over as a family now. I'll be glad when the anniversary has passed because, you know, how do you remember him? Well, to me, he was always Dad. And how do you replace your dad?